for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, December the 31st, 2015. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on What to Expect. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
That's why we don't let, we said, when you come here, these people have been appointed by Merrill, the head, to pray for you. You don't let Joe Blow back there lay hands on you or Miss Nicey Mary's face. No, because they could be operating in witchcraft. You just don't even know. No, that's why we have an order here. It's for your protection. Glenn has told stories about people having their own personal little prayer meetings out here. People prophesying to each other. Oh, you're going to divorce your husband and you're going to, craziness. Those are false prophets. But you know what? People that are hungry for God, they'll eat anything.
And if they do, it'll come to pass.
That's right. It's an evil prophetic word. It's a curse. And it will. Okay? So, I go on to say, anyone who touched me in an unholy manner today, and I give leave to any familiar spirits that attach themselves to me as I walk through this day. Now I cover myself with the blood of Jesus Christ and call on the mighty angels to stand around me shoulder to shoulder, and I bind those tormenting spirits, and I go to sleep. I do that. People say, well, do you have to do that every day? I said, well, when they asked Jesus to teach him how to pray, he said, give me this day. I think it needs to be done every day. Give me this day my daily bread. You can't, that's what the manna was all about. It was good for that day. You couldn't save it. It got wormy if you saved it. You better do it every day. That's a discipline. You feed your body every day. Here's something else. You need to read your word every day. You got a spirit inside your body that's hungry. We feed our faith, but we don't feed our spirit. And there may come a time when they take all the Bibles and burn them, and you'll only have what that's right. And the Holy Ghost will bring it to you when you have need of it. It's better than gold bars. Do you hear me? What is that song? More precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Listen, this is everything you need. Okay? If you need to know more about familiar spirits than you do, I did a teaching one time, molestation, why me? It's all about familiar spirits. Grandma got molested.
Yep.
Daughter gets molested.
Yep.
Grandbaby gets molested. Next generation gets molested. Molestation, molestation, molestation. And it may skip. Mama might not have got molested because she was careful because she got molested. She's real careful, but then her baby gets molested. Why? Because that when someone is violated, not only does a demon come into them, but there's a familiar spirit out here. There's one on the inside, there's one on the outside. That's why two people who never knew each other go to a party and they're both miserable in their marriage, or maybe it's a single person looking for someone who's looking for someone, and the familiar spirit behind this person is on the other side of the room, and their familiar spirits go, shh, and then the familiar spirit, they're doing this. You look up the definitions of familiar spirit. It's a spirit that guides, directs, and protects. Not like God protects. No, the demons will protect their own. You know what I've come to realize? All these people, these drunks that get in car accidents where a whole family's wiped out and the drunk walks away unhurt. Satan can protect his own. He protects them. It's undivine, unholy protection. It's so real. And we need to know these things. Our children need to know these things. Little children who have parents that are mean to them. And it's so sad when they come to me and tell me, it breaks my heart. And I tell them, I'm so sorry. But you know what? You can use the name of Jesus to bind that mean man spirit. When you see them start to get mean, go in your bedroom and say, I bind that mean man spirit in Jesus' name, and I call my angels around me, shoulder to shoulder, that it can't touch me. Listen, that's real power for a child. They need that. So if you need to know more about familiar spirits, go to LHBCOnline.com. Not LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. LHBCOnline.com. Scroll down to my name, and then there's all the titles are there. You just look for familiar spirits. You just click on it, and it comes right up, and you get to hear the whole teaching.
If you do go to LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com, there's a place up there where it says free audio. Click on that, go right over to LHBCOnline.
Okay. Because I've had people say I went to LHBC, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, but it was, I could only find it to buy. And I said, well, I didn't know that. I'll tell them on that. Well, it's really easy. And if I minister to somebody like on the email or something, I just look it up myself, copy, paste, and just send them the link. But you know, that can get to be a lot of work sometimes. Because I can't remember if it's on page one or page two. I've got to go through all of, oh, there it is. I guess I need to just copy and paste them to a folder. Thank you, Jesus. See, he can give you new ideas. I just got that. I'm learning. I even learned today how to make the print big on my phone. Yes, because I was so tired this morning, I couldn't even see. Okay, now, but before you listen to a teaching, you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. When you leave your house, listen, flu season, I don't need a shot.
No.
Lord, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus today.
Thank you.
That no ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus can come near my tent. You know what that is? Psalm 91, noise and pestilence.
Yeah.
That's what noise and pestilence means. And that covers a lot. Any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus. That's better than a flu shot. You can get a flu shot and another strain of flu comes and the shot doesn't have anything to do with it. It's all deception. Take care of yourself. You're going to take care of yourself, you won't let God take care of you. I'm here to tell you, he can do it better. He told me, you know what he told me back in the day when I was receiving healing? Healing is great. But he said, you know, not only can I heal you, but I can keep you. I said, I'll take it. And I received that from my whole family. Do you know our little ones quit getting sick? Quit getting sick. We didn't even have a doctor bill anymore. And let me just tell you about insurance. Insurance is good to have. But we lost ours. Not anything we did. A bunch of the people that Mike worked with were elderly, and they all started having open heart surgeries. And that was expensive back in that day. We had good insurance. But guess what? They canceled. Everybody. See, insurance is good as long as you're paying them.
Yeah.
When you start, they start having to pay out. And let me tell you, I thought about this the other day with all these floods and all this stuff. Those insurance companies are going to belly up. They're going to run out of money. And what do you do then? Well, I got a catalog, a magazine. What is insurance? I sat down and read that booger. You know what insurance is? It's a managed pool of money. You're not managing it. But it's a managed pool of money by which the members pay. And then when there is a claim, your money that you pay covers their claims. Oh, wait a minute. That's insane. I said, Mike, do you realize that health insurance they're taking out of your check, which is like $10 a month, there was nothing, But it was still money. I think when we lost insurance and they got a new insurance policy, it was like $100. And I said, and he was afraid not to have insurance. That's what they'll, and they'll do that to you. They'll walk in our office. When we first opened, we were selling glasses, but more people came in trying to sell us stuff. I said, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. But they would walk in, some insurance guy, Mike would say, I'm going to let you talk to her on that one. I said, well, I don't believe in insurance. What do you mean you don't believe in insurance? What if you get cancer? I don't live in the world of what if. Just don't. I don't live in the world of what if. Well, anyway, they think I'm crazy, but it's all right. Okay, so when you leave the house, cover yourself from the blood of Jesus. We've talked about backlash and retaliation. Okay, this is another prayer I want to pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, every person that came to this camp and received freedom in any area, I ask every door from that chamber that thing left, that every door be shut and sealed in the name of Jesus. And I ask the Holy Ghost to come and fill that vacancy. And then let there be a spiritual no vacancy sign. So when they come back, there's no vacancy. But fill it. Begin to fill it with the Word. Fill it with spiritual songs and, start doing something different in your life. The definition of insanity is doing something the same way and expecting a different outcome. That's insanity, but that's how we live our lives. We get stuck in a rut. Just change something. Okay? Okay, now, I want to, and I was really sorry that all the kids were not still here, but we still have some kids here, and everybody who listens to this tape has kids, and they can do it to their children. But right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break generational curses that came down from the mother and the father's bloodline. And I call down fire from heaven right now to destroy the altar that Satan has erected with your name on it, to destroy you. I destroy that altar right now in the name of Jesus. And we lay you on the altar of Christ. I bind your feet to the pathway of righteousness. I bind Satan from you. I call mighty angels to stand around you. Always, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil penetrate. In Jesus' name. Okay. Okay, now I want to just talk to you a little bit about how you can get back what you've lost. This was something God revealed to me. I was sitting right there on that second row, the third chair. What's your friend's name? What is it?
Jennifer.
I was sitting right there. Jane was playing. Well, I went to the enemy's camp. Oh, we had such fun singing that song. And I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he's under my feet. He's where we're stomping. And I got to thinking about the words of that song, and I just stopped. That's how I do when something comes to me. I'm not singing anymore. I'm not even there with everybody. I'm with God. Lord, who do I know that has ever got to the enemy's camp and got back what he has stolen from him? I don't know one person that's done that. Is there an enemy's camp? Where is it? How do we get there? I need to know. I've been stolen from tremendously. Mike and I were tithers. We were so broke. What's up with the scripture? Said, I'm like, what's up with that? This is not right. But we just, we got to be nice. Because after all, we're Christians. Well, so I'm at my house one day. And I am walking around and I am praying. And I said, Lord, Mike and I are tithers. We're tithers. But it is like we are and one of the benefits of being a tither is that the devourer, who is the devil, is rebuked for your sake. We were being eaten alive. I mean, it was like our pockets had holes in them. And I'm sure there were curses, not from witchcraft, but from our own lives we didn't know about. But anyway, I was tired of that. And so I am praying, and I was quoting that scripture about the windows of heaven being open, and all of a sudden I had an open vision. It was like the whole sky. It was as big as the whole sky, and it was these open windows with wooden door shutters. Big windows, as big as the whole sky. And blessings. God is pouring out His blessings that His people, whatever blessings were yours. You know, people say, you know, I've been with this company this long, and every time a promotion comes open, they give it to somebody else. You've been stolen from. He's in line for the promotion, but somebody else gets it. Stolen. He was supposed to get a raise. Stolen. You know, all these things. People send in applications to college. Rejected. Apply for a job. They don't get it. What's up with that? Well, see, Satan is stealing from us, and we don't even realize that it's Satan. We don't even know that it's him. We're saying, Lord, why are you letting this happen? You know what? If you don't factor in the enemy, you end up being mad at God. Because you think that what the devil is doing is from God, and it's not. It's time for us to put the blame where the blame belongs. Yes, God is sovereign. I asked him one day. He said, yes, I am. But I will never violate my covenant with man. That meant something to me. Because some of the things that we think God is doing is not part of His covenant. So we got to find out who the author of our problem is. So here's the windows. Blessings are being poured out in my case. I had three wrecks. Here's the number three. God showed me that's witchcraft. I had three wrecks in 3 months. My car looked like a crumpled tin can. We had liability that we didn't have. We only had what the law makes us have. Now we have health insurance because of Obamacare. And to keep from being fined, if that's not communism,
yeah, right.
I don't know what is. I'm sorry. And I'm mad about it, too. So anyway, but you have to, you know, the Bible says abide by the law. Abide by the law for His sake. Okay, so we do. Okay, so the windows of heaven are open. All of this is being put in my car. When I saw this, the blessings. And then right below and to the left was this big fenced-in place. Like a junkyard. Only it wasn't junk, it was all of God's people's blessings. And Satan had a big old demon posted right under those windows of blessings. And when it was being poured out, he would funnel it over into the enemy's camp. And Satan was standing by the fence, picking his teeth with a toothpick, just like you see in the cartoons. He's laughing us Christians to scorn. First of all, we don't even know he's doing it. Lord, why? You know, that's what we do. Because we don't know it's the enemy. Nobody's ever told us the enemy does this. Nobody's ever told us how to get it back. So, I saw that. You think I didn't get mad? I said, no! In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you and I command you to lose everything that you have stolen from Mike and me. And I send out the angels to bring it into the house of Butod. And I command that blocking spirit you move that are stealing from God's people. Not just me and mine. All of God's people. And I told everybody I knew about this. I called every preacher I knew that had been beat up by the devil. And told him and gave him, I wrote it out, a testimony, and sent it. Okay, so I'm going to give you two instances right away that started happening when I started praying this. We had opened a little eyeglass business. Not long after we opened, a lady came in. She bought a very expensive pair of glasses. Of course, my glasses are not as expensive as they are in Dallas and Houston, a third of the price. But for Jasper people, expensive. Okay, so she owed us $260. She comes in to get her glasses, and she says to Mike, you know, I have half of what I owe you, and I get paid, this is like on a Tuesday, but I get paid Friday. Would you let me go ahead and take them, and I'll come in Friday when I get paid? And Mike said, sure. And the lady next to me said, what are you doing? When we go to the restaurant, we don't get to pay for half our meal. That is not good business, honey. But he's a soft hearted guy. He's a mercy man. So the lady took the glasses. We never saw her again. Well, she forgot. So I had this, got out a little notepad, a note paper. And I said, I know, you know, it's probably been a busy week for you. And this has just slipped your mind. But the $160 balance on your glasses is still due. She didn't come. We never saw her again. Not long after that, this lady came in our office, bought a very inexpensive pair of glasses. Mike leaves the room to go cut the lenses and get them ready. She's in the front part of the office by herself. He comes out. She writes him a check for the glasses. It bounces. So I write her a note. Hey, we were in dire straits at this time, I understood. I totally understand how easy it is to get overdrawn in your checkbook. It's happened to us. We're not going to, you know, go through the motions, like take it to the court, whatever you do with it. They get in trouble. So I'm going to let this, you know, just please come in. I'll be happy to give you the check, bring the money in, and pay for your glasses. Never saw her. Okay, so at this time, you know that parable about the man that was forgiven, and then the other guy went out and choked somebody for a little bit. And this is my question. Hey, that's a pretty cool story. That guy got forgiven his debt. Lord, is that possible? I mean, we have debt. It was not anything we did that we had a terrible tragedy happen in Jasper, Texas, and business stood still for about 3 months. We got behind in business, house, everything. So, if I want our debt to be forgiven, this $160 unpaid bill, I said, honey, I'm praying for our debt to be forgiven. So, you know what? We have to forgive them. Forget it. Forget the $160. I mean, I sent two or three notices, not just one, but they were just flat out not going to pay it. So I said, I'm just going to stick this in our bank statement. Lord, we forgive them. We just forgive them. It's like they don't owe us anything. Okay, when I started praying this prayer, Mike called me one day, and he said, guess what happened today? Now, I started praying that in September. This happened in October. I said, what happened? He said, a lady came in my office. I didn't recognize her. I knew she hadn't been in order glasses or anything, and she laid $160 on my desk, cash. Laid it on my desk. And he said, it confused me because I didn't know who she was. And Mike, it's very important to Mike to remember people. He didn't want to have to ask you your name. He wants to be able to go back there and bring them out. Sometimes he's brought the wrong glasses. You know, not me. If I'm not sure, what is your name again? What's wrong with that? Nothing. So he said, I went in the back and I'm trying to think of $160. He went back up there and he said, you know what? I'm at a loss. Did you order glasses for me? And she said, oh, no. A year ago, it had been over a year, and I had been praying that prayer. She brings in the $160 and lays it on the desk. It didn't even click yet. The next week he said, you'll never guess who came in today. I said, who? He said, you know that lady that we got the hot check from? I said, yeah. He said, well, she came in today and wanted the hot check. Actually, I was there that day. She walked in. She said, I got a hot check on you. And I thought I had given her up. I was like, oh, dear God. What did I give you? And she said, oh, no. I gave you a hot check. But see, I wasn't there that day. Mike was there. And I said, oh, well, what is your name? I'd written her the note. I remember the name. Oh, my spirit woman is saying, I never thought I'd see you again. But my flesh woman is saying, oh, let me get your check. So I get out my bank statement, give her the check, and she thanks me for it, gives me the cash for it. She went. Still didn't catch it. The next day, I wasn't there. Mike said, guess what happened today? I said, what? He said, you know that lady that was in here yesterday to get her hot check? I said, yeah. He said, she came back in here today with a brand new frame. Still had the tag on it. I said, oh, she bought it somewhere and wants you to make her glasses? No, listen to this. He said, did you want me to buy glasses? She said, no, you don't understand. When I came in here to buy those first glasses, I stole this. And he went, really? And he said, well, you know, I never missed it. And he didn't. We hadn't missed it. He said, what made you bring it back? And she said, y'all were just so nice to me. I could never do anything with it. And he said, well, thank you for bringing it back. And that was the end of that. When he called me and told me that, I went, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh, Mike. That prayer I told you about the windows of blessings and Satan funneling our stuff. And I started claiming. I said, and guess what else, Satan? When the thief is discovered, you got to pay. You got to repay double, buddy. I am expecting double. Double. See, that is taking authority over the enemy. You find out, and then you deal with it. In the spirit realm, it's not a physical place. This is happening in the spirit realm. But it is physical things that have been stolen from you. Money, houses, cars, obedient children, your health, job opportunities, promotions, vacations. Whatever. I encourage you to make a list of things that you know that Satan has stolen from you. And I'll tell you one thing that came out of it. Mike's mother and daddy, they thought it was a scam. They got a call on the phone. Yes, this is so-and-so. We are lawyers in Houston, Texas. And we have been notified that one of your relatives is looking for people that are going to get, relatives, you know, people that are going to receive from an inheritance. Mike's daddy's great uncle had died having no children. He was quite a scoundrel. But if the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, we'll take it. He was a scoundrel. But he had $500,000 that nobody had claimed. He had no, what do you call it?
No heirs.
Heirs. He had no heirs. No sons, no daughters, no brothers, but nephews, which Bert was. And each person in that family got $45,000. And I thought, that's part of that prayer. I said, the house of Bouton. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be specific. The house of Mike Bouton. But you know what? They gave us some of that money. We got some of it. So, listen. Is it about stuff? No. But if someone stole your stuff, it's about stuff. Do you hear me? It's about stuff. It's the principle of the thing. And God had principles. If you had an animal that hurt somebody and you didn't deal with that animal, they killed you. Any animal. I mean, there were some strict laws in those laws. Strict laws. So, make a list, go to the enemy's camp, and take back what he has stolen from you. Double. Double. And I'm going to tell you, continually it has been coming in. Coming in. Now, we're going to inherit 1 acre of land in Cameron Parish, Louisiana. I just paid the taxes on it. It was 72 cents. It is in the swamps of Louisiana, and there is gas under that land, but there is a rare clam that I'm speaking death to. I loose a plague on those clams. Them clams have got to go. We're not going to worship the creature more than the creator or the creature. I'm a creation. We're going to protect the clams. Yeah. We are. So, you know, that land's been there a long time. It went from his grandmother to his mother to him and now to us. Well, I want the gas rights. We have the mineral rights in the swamps of Louisiana. I think might have been the scoundrel. So bootleg whiskey on that land. But listen, I don't know when it's going to come in. But I am calling for the transfer. I'm calling for the transfer. Why should the world be rich and, you know, why? Is it about stuff? No. But it takes money. It takes money to travel and minister to God's people. There, you know, Jesus was not a poor man. We've been told that. That garment, why do you think they were rolling dice or whatever it was they were doing to see who could get that garment? That was a fine garment. And all of God's men throughout the Old Testament, y'all want to camp out in the Old Testament? Go take a look at Abraham, Solomon, David, every king, every Joseph. You know, it took him a while. He was a little not wise. But he ended up being second in command of a country over all the goods. So I'm going to stop with that. But I just wanted y'all to know, you're not helpless. You're not powerless. Oh, okay. I said in the beginning, it's great to find out that you're not evil. It's great to find out who you're not. But now let me tell you who you are and how God showed me who I am. And I'm no different than any of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I was asking Him. See, that's why I say, ask, ask, ask. It says, ask and you shall receive. I ask a lot of questions. I ask. And I asked Him, Lord, you say that we are to walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I am a flesh woman. I know I have a spirit. I know I'm a spiritual person. But how do I walk in the Spirit? And I had an open vision. You know, they used to pray for dreams and visions. I was having them all the time and didn't even know it. I didn't even know that's what that was. I'm just saying, oh, and I saw this picture. No, it was a vision. But I was in my living room asking God about these things, about the spirit man, the man that we really are on the inside where Jesus Christ lives. And I had a vision. I'm sitting in my chair across the room. It's where our wood-burning stove sits. But the stove wasn't there. There were three slender young men. Here we go with the three. God has shown me in my dreams and visions that three represents, most people would say, oh, God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. No, demons, witchcraft. And, you know, because Satan is a counterfeiter. He's a copycat. Okay, so there's those three young men in the corner. I'm walking across the room. And when I got near the corner where those three young men were, they were cutting up like young men do. All of a sudden they stopped when they saw me, and they're horrified, and they're packing up, and they're all trying to hide. If they could get in the sheetrock, they would have disappeared into the sheetrock, but there they were. And I walked on by, and in my mind I said, what's your problem? You know, walked on by, disappeared into the hallway. Then the three young men came out of the corner, and they're high-fiving and saying, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. And I'm sitting there hearing all this, and then the whole thing went away. There's my stove again, and I'm left with this thought. Lord, what did she, who is me, not know? And He said, see, when you crossed that room, they didn't even see Carla. They didn't see Carla. Demons are not going to see you. They're not going to see you. You are a container, a vessel of the Most High God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It's a package deal. Jesus was baptized by the Holy Ghost. It came down and filled Him up. He had the Holy Ghost. When we receive Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Word made flesh. God and man. Emmanuel, God with us in Jesus Christ. And that's who is in you. And so when He said, when you were walking across that room, they didn't even see Carla. They saw me. They saw my Son, Jesus Christ. And they saw the Holy Ghost. And they were horrified. He said, that's what my people don't know. See, we don't even know who we are. We are vessels of the Most High God, and we need to walk in this earth as the vessel of the Most High God. There's coming a day we're going to meet people that are sick. We're going to administer healing. I said, you know what? I came home after I saw that the demons flying furiously in the atmosphere, and God, it was just a knowing that the kingdom of darkness, the war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light is intensified in the earth today. And we're going to start seeing things we've never seen before. And we need to know what to do when they come. And so I told my Bible study about it. This is what I saw and this is what I heard. And I told them. And I said, don't be surprised if you're just grocery shopping or in your business, your job, whatever, and somebody is going to put a demand on the Jesus in you. Because that demon of sickness is going to see Jesus. And just like they all did, they ran to Jesus. You can make me whole. They knew. They know. Guess what else the demons know? There's a time for their torment. And they know it. That's why they said to Jesus when he cast the demons into the pigs, they said, have you come to torment us before our time? Yeah. They know that there's a time coming. And it should be now. They've tormented us long enough. It's time for us to use the authority that Jesus Christ gave us and put them in their places. Okay? Well, I've preached to y'all long enough. I don't like to preach. I'm not a preacher. My husband says, she's not a preacher. She's a teacher. But you know what? Sometimes the preacher comes out. And about this, it's time for God's people to hear this. Stop being whipped by the devil. Stand up and take your place. The only reason they can whip you is because you don't know who you are. You find out who you are, they're not going to whip you anymore. Do the warfare. Get that prayer. Start praying it every day. Do the things that read your word. It's time, church. It's time. I bless you. Lord, I thank you for this camp. I thank you for all the meetings that have taken place. I thank you for every place of victory that every person that came here gained some victory. They took back some of the land that Satan had stolen from them in their own, on their own land, in their own body. They've gotten some of it back. And I bless that. And Lord, I ask you to wake them up and begin to train them, just like you have me, how to fight and then to fight. Engage in the war. You know what? I used to, things would happen to me and I would start asking God for help. Now, I'm like David that ran toward Goliath. I don't wait for him to bother me. I go bother him first so he can't bother me. He's got power, but we have more through Jesus Christ. So I just, Lord, I just loose upon them boldness, strength, might, valor, the spirit of a warrior. I ask that you would bless them with discernment. Open their spiritual eyes that they can start seeing the demons and addressing them before they come and beat them up. That's my request, Lord. That's another of the scriptures. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with supplication and prayer, with thanksgiving, let your request. There's no wrong way to pray. Let your request. He's not going to, you know what it is saying, James? You ask, you don't get because you ask amiss. But let your request be made known. God grants so many of my requests, even before I ask. And that's the way you want to live. The other one is be anxious for nothing. Look at the birds, look at the flowers of the field. He knows what you have need of, but he says ask. And you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It's time for us to be knockers. Until we get the answer, until we get the result that we know we should have, the victory in every area of our life. Thank you. I bless you. I bless your new year. Lord, I bless them with good health,
yes,
divine health.
Mm-hmm.
I bless them with all the blessings that of Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance in Him. And I ask that they would go and draw on that inheritance and begin to have everything that you meant for them and me and us to have. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, food.
We fasted today, so everybody's hungry. Lord, we thank you for the food. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. I thank you that it is sanctified. When we bless it and receive it with thanksgiving, it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If there's anything bad in it, it's been sanctified. All this fear about eating stuff that's not organic, do you think that was a surprise to God? No. He gave us provision. Bless your food. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.